A little bit of the bubbly.
Well, all right, all right, all right. Welcome, everyone, back to Elite Wrestling Audio. It feels so good to say those words once again. EWA took a little bit of a hiatus at the end of 2021, but we are back. It is 2022, and you know what to do. Hit that play button, download this podcast, because we got a good one waiting for you guys on the other side. This podcast specifically, we're talking about WWE's day one. That's right, people. Day uno. The ups, the downs, and the crazy ending that happened as well, too. So sit back, relax, and just welcome to Boricuas from the Bronx and join some pro wrestling talk. All right, guys. Thank you so much once again. Take a listen. Ciao. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Elite Wrestling Audio. Oh my god, it sounds so good to say that. It is 2022, and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna thank you, the audience, for taking the time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, and just pressing that play button or downloading this podcast, whatever it is. Thank you so much for joining us today. Number 2, January the 2nd, not to date this podcast, but hell yeah, 2022, this is where we're at. EWA is back. It feels so good to say that, and it feels so good to announce that this segment right here is called Sunday Night Elite, and yes, oh god, I'm gonna say it twice, Sunday Night Elite. This is the podcast where we're talking about everything in the world of professional wrestling, whether it's pay-per-views, whether it's gossip, whether it is interviews when we get them as well too this year. And I assure you, we're going to be doing that. Me, my boy Jay Rance, my co-host, we're going to be plugging away. So I hope you guys enjoy the ride. Thank you so much for the support from the past. We took a little bit of a hiatus last year, but rest assured, we are back and better than ever. Your boy, Val Cisco. Had a couple of health scares last year and recently as well too, but you know what? That's not going to stop this gravy train. We're going to keep on rocking and rolling. Val Cisco, myself, we are doing this double today, and we're going to be talking about WWE's Day 1 live event special. Feels so good to be talking about professional wrestling, so let's get into it. Wait. I can't, because we weren't able to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. We weren't able to wish you guys a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Feliz Navidad, Happy New Year. We weren't able to do that. I'm going to say it right now. I hope you guys enjoyed the holiday season for the last weeks back. I hope you guys stuffed your face with food, had some candy, opened some presents, and just spent time with family. If you didn't, if you had some time alone, you just had that peace being by yourself, I hope you had that peace as well too, because rest assured, we all need that. So guys, bless you all right there. Let's get into the podcast right now. I know I wasted 2 minutes of your time. I'm going to make it short and sweet. We're going to be talking about day one. Not a lot, just day one, okay? Whew! All right, enough of the familiarities. On July 23rd, 2021, it was announced by the WWE / Peacock as well too, that on Saturday, January 1st, 2022, State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, Hotlanta, would be featuring the first pay-per-view, if you would call it, of the WWE, and that would be Day One. Now, a lot of speculation was happening with this when it was announced, because hey, what are we doing over here? January is specifically for the Royal Rumble. We were hearing many rumors that the Royal Rumble was going to be pushed to February. A couple of things were going to be pushed as well too. So not a lot of people were on board when this was announced, but we are here. It is January 2nd right now. Day One is behind us essentially, so we're going to be talking about what happened on that day. So guys, Hotlanta was the host of Day One. This was, I want to say, a fair to middling kind of anticipated show. let's just say that right here. I think there was a lot riding on some of the main events, whether it was Roman Reigns taking on Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, whether it was the Fatal 4-Way match at first, right? It was a Fatal 4-Way match with Big E defending his championship against Seth Rollins, against Bobby Lashley, and against Kevin Owens. And I think there was some anticipation of what was going to happen with these two matches, even though we've seen Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns a numerous amount of times. I believe that there was some intrigue, especially with the babyface angle that Brock Lesnar has been giving us for the last couple of months, and of course the awesome heel presence that is Roman Reigns. Acknowledge him. I think there was some hype there. Now, if y'all know me, you probably have heard me many times rant many days about how I really don't waste my time with the WWE. And it's not to say I'm an AEW stan or anything like that, because I love all facets of wrestling when it comes to Impact Wrestling, AEW, MLW, the late great ROH, New Japan Wrestling, and so much more. So I love my variety. Variety is the spice of life. With the WWE, I feel like so much things have been happening lately, so much creative decisions have been happening lately, where it's kind of taking the love that I had for this promotion away. Whether it was the roster cuts, whether it was certain directions of certain characters, whether it was certain lack of directions for certain characters as well too, and even on this card, certain matches that were taken away with no reason whatsoever. Now, it was heard from the prior week that some superstars did contract COVID-19, especially one that we'll get into right here as well too. But I feel like only one person, just one, was announced, while the rest were just wondering what the hell happened. Originally, this pay-per-view was supposed to have an Intercontinental Championship match with Sami Zayn taking on the champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. Can we just say this? Shinsuke's Intercontinental Championship reign has been less than stellar. Can we just say that Shinsuke's main roster existence has been less than stellar, with various stints with tag team partners and managers, ups, downs, title losses, title wins that really don't mean anything? I think Shinsuke, for such a pragmatic and such a enthusiastic character, an eccentric character, very neutered in the main roster. Hell, the NXT, the black and gold brand that we all love and enjoyed back then, showcased every skill that Shinsuke Nakamura had to deliver. Not so much in the main roster. I'm not saying that this was a make or break not seeing Sami Zayn and Shinsuke, but I think it would have been great just to have on the card as a pure wrestling match with a couple of things happening in the way as well too. But nonetheless, that was scrapped with no reason whatsoever. And of course, another match that was scrapped was the Universal Championship match. I believe it was supposed to be the main event as well too, with it Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, where Roman Reigns announced earlier that day that he contracted COVID-19. Now, here's the funny part. WWE, let me learn you something real quick. The WWE likes to pitter-patter, likes to dance around, tap dance around a couple of real-life issues sometimes, especially when it comes to COVID-19. Sometimes they don't even like to say that. They don't like to say those letters, those words, those numbers. They don't like it whatsoever. They dance around it. They say that something happened. Unexplained injury, sickness, things of that nature. So I applaud them, I really do, for being very outspoken about Roman Reigns contracting COVID-19 and how things had to change. You know, it was all over the TV. So I get that. I love it. I love the fact that they were honest about that. Rock and roll. Here's the thing, though. I just feel that a couple of other people did contract it as well, too, and that would have shed a nice little limelight on what's happening right now. But I digress. The match was canceled, but we got to see Brock Lesnar, the beast himself, the overall Canadian monster himself, Venison Man himself, take not really a place, but enter the Fatal 4-Way, making it a Fatal 5-Way for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, upping the stakes of that match, and dare I say, making it even more intriguing. I will say that. Now, a lot of people, including my boy Jay Rance, called what was going to happen right off the bat, but I was a little optimistic. I was a tad bit optimistic. Here is a shot to see Big E, my man Big E Langston, really cement himself as the World Wrestling Federation, the World Wrestling Entertainment Champion. And man, oh man, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I was disappointed, if you hear it in my voice. But nonetheless, Hotlanta was there. The crowd was there as well, too. Back and forth in some segments, but the crowd was there. And I felt like this was a decent show. Now, the WWE also announced again that this wasn't a pay-per-view. This was the 2022's first, I believe they said, premier live event. Premier live event. We're going to be hearing that a lot more often, guys. So get used to it. No more pay-per-views. Premier live events are replacing that right now. So let's get into it. I know there was a pre-show match. The most noteworthy thing that came out of that pre-show match was the injury update. Of course, our boy, Ridge Holland, back on the injury list. That man cannot catch a break. The dude always gets injured. I don't know why. The dude is just injury prone. It just happens. But it was a match with him and Sheamus taking on the likes of Ricochet and Cesaro. A throwaway match, I definitely understand that, and I definitely see that there's some storytelling within the SmackDown superstars in this match, but it really was a throwaway match. But of course, right off the rip, a tag team maneuver when I believe Cesaro was trying to assist Ricochet on doing a standing 450 splash, it didn't look flush, and it seemed that Ricochet just literally stomped Holland's nose almost off his face when attempting to do this 450. Of course, Holland was gushing blood and was rolling out the ring in pain. They called an audible right there. You had Sheamus take out Ricochet on the outside as well, too, kind of making this a one-on-one match with him and Cesaro. Ended up being Sheamus taking the win over Cesaro. Now, all the antics and craziness aside, what happens here? Who gets the value out of this match right here? And I gotta say, I like the fact that they're doing their best to keep Sheamus hot. Oh, white hot, white noise, if you will. They're trying to make him as hot as possible. Why? I really don't know. Here's a guy that's in his upper 40s that's done everything he needs to do in this company when it comes to winning the heavyweight championship, whether it's multiple championships, multiple tag team championships, King of the Ring, so much things, Royal Rumble, so many things that this man has done. I just don't really see the value of putting him over. And even when he was quote unquote over, the crowd never really responded well to him as the main guy as well too. Maybe as a main heel, but that's really about it. What are we doing with the Sheamus experiment? I mean, I love it. The brawler. I love it. But at the same time, I felt like, I don't know, maybe something has to happen where all this heat that he's getting needs to rub off on somebody else. A babyface. I don't know who, but it definitely needs to be a babyface. Or maybe they're just getting him ready for potential title challenger. Who knows? But nonetheless, Sheamus gets the win on the pre-show, and we move on to the main event, or at least the main card as well, right there. So let's get into the matches, because, you know, these matches were decent. This was as good as a SmackDown could be, maybe elevated a tad bit more besides the main event. But let's get into it. The first match of the night, the Usos, day one-ish, went ahead and defended their WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships against the longtime rivals of Xavier Woods, King Xavier, King Woods, and Sir Kofi Kingston, the right hand of the King. The New Day challenging for those set titles, and this was a decent match. They got a lot of time, 17 minutes and 5 seconds, and these guys went broke for broke. They went hold for hold. They went punch for punch, move for move, tag team offense against tag team offense. I will say, I've seen better matches between these four gentlemen. These four guys have really put on stellar shows, whether it was in the pre-shows back in the last 5 years or even main shows as well too. I feel like these guys had a decent SmackDown tier match, but it wasn't the level of a pay-per-view or a premier live event caliber match whatsoever. But still, the Usos did retain after using the 3D, the Dudley Death Drop. It wasn't that flush, though, I will say that. It came out of nowhere. And I don't know, I think the fans, they reacted to it the way I did. A little confused, but they were happy nonetheless that the Usos won. Day one-ish on day one, retaining their tag team championships. A big shout-out from Bully Ray and D-Von, even though they're not acknowledging each other on the internet. They both were congratulating the Usos on the tag team maneuver. I believe even our boy Pat McAfee tried to rename the move, saying it was called the 3D at one point. Now I believe they called it the 1D, kind of like day one. If I'm mistaken, somebody please correct me right there. So rock and roll for them. The bloodline still continues as a hot angle on SmackDown. It's going to take a new tag team to really take these titles away from them. I hope it's a legitimate tag team and not just some random RKO bro nonsense right there. But we'll let that be later on. Good for the Usos. Next match, Drew McIntyre taking on Madcap Moss with Happy Corbin as well too. Of course, we all knew this. Drew McIntyre gets the win, but a match that was semi 50-50 in a way. They gave a lot to Madcap Moss in this match. And you know what, Riddick Moss, I've always been a fan of the man. There's something about him, I don't know what it is, don't ask me, but he's just like a strong little feisty guy that slams people around. I remember when he won that 24/7 championship on Raw in a legit match and looked dominating. I was like, huh, they could do something with this guy with that title. Of course they didn't, but now we see him with more personality, making bad jokes with Happy Corbin. So I believe that with the 50-50 booking that they gave, not 50-50, I want to say at least 60-40. Of course, going more to Drew. I mean, this match got 9 minutes and 45 seconds. It got a lot of time. A lot of time right there. But of course, Drew McIntyre gets the win with the Claymore, gets the pin, and of course, leaves happily. In the backstage segment, though, they did write off Drew McIntyre, who has been saying that he's had a nagging neck injury. And I believe he's going to be out for the next couple of weeks or months with an injury as well, too, trying to repair that as well, too. We got to see Riddick Moss and Happy Corbin. Billy Corbin? Happy Corbin. Go out there and just wreak havoc on Drew, injuring his throat, his neck, and write him off TV. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see if Drew actually makes it to WrestleMania with this injury. All right, fourth match of the night. Fourth match of the night, because we'll count that pre-show match. RK-Bro! Randy Orton and Riddle taking on the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. I was a little confused with this match, because I remember that the Street Profits were on SmackDown. Unless they were drafted to Raw, I have no idea. The draft really still puzzles me on who goes where, who's this way, who's that way. It's always puzzles me over the last 4 years. There's no consistency to it whatsoever. But nonetheless, this was a decent match. RK-Bro, though, coming out with Migos. Very much a hip-hop feel to day one, especially with Migos playing the theme song of the night as well, too. But this was also a lengthy match, 11 minutes and 15 seconds. Back and forth goodness. I mean, this was the best match I've ever seen Angelo Dawkins in my life. Angelo Dawkins went out there and said, "You're going to pay me." And he just outperformed many people. And in some cases, I feel like he outperformed Montez Ford, which never happens whatsoever. I felt like Montez Ford was a little bit lackadaisical. I don't know what his problem was. He comes out with a new look as well, too, with cornrows. I get it. He's still doing the frog splash and the diving spots, but I don't know. Something was missing. But I definitely saw the intensity for Angelo Dawkins. So rock and roll with him right there. But of course, Randy Orton and Riddle do get the win, defending their Raw tag team straps with an assisted RKO. Very awesome, very cool, but something that we've all seen already. I think we're tired of the RKO out of nowhere. We just want some storytelling from Randy Orton now. Hopefully that's going to happen, because at the end of the day, I think we're all waiting for the punt to happen to Riddle. waiting for someone to turn on someone. This is long-term storytelling at its best. If anyone's saying that the WWE does not do long-term storytelling, they'll do it. The people that they like. And I believe this is what's going to happen at Mania. We're going to have Randy Orton and Riddle happen. It's going to happen. Mark my words. That's what's going to happen. Which night? I don't know. But RK-Bro gets the win. Next match of the night, which, I don't know, this fell under the radar. A lot of people were sleeping on this match. And maybe it's the Edge effect. I know me and my boy Jay Brands were talking about this on that night as well, too. We were saying that, what's up with Edge? Are we hot or cold with Edge? Is his presence welcomed or not needed anymore? And I think we're on opposite spectrums right here. I think our boy Jay Rance was feeling that, you know, Edge kind of wore out his welcome, that he has nothing left to prove in the company whatsoever besides putting over younger talent. And then myself, I felt like he has one more world title shot or opportunity waiting for him. Who is he going to take it off? I have no idea, but I feel like there's one more title reign in the midst for Edge, and I feel like he's done some good character work. Although a lot of the character work he has been doing is a ripoff of Gangrel from 1998. But hey, rock and roll. This is where we're at right now. We have Edge versus The Miz, and The Miz still gets a lot of shit for, I guess, his WWE performance style. But at the end of the day, he talks a good game. He gets people pissed off. Him and Reese are a great little on-screen and off-screen couple as well, too. They make the fans kind of riled up as well, too. We're better than you, you know it. MJF. And of course, you know, Edge kind of poking holes into that as well, too. I think we also knew what the ending was going to be with this, especially with Beth Phoenix being taken off the commentary booth in NXT. We all felt like something bigger was going to happen with her. And of course, that's what happened tonight. A match that went 20 minutes exactly. These men went back and forth, hold for hold, submission for submission, in a great wrestling match with, of course, The Miz and Maurice in the background playing dirty, doing dirty tricks. You know, a little bit of old school flair, if you will, to this match right here, with the end coming with Beth Phoenix looking like a werewolf, looking like She-Ra from GLOW, hearkening back to her 80s nostalgia right there. She comes out, waits for her entrance music, comes down, tries to intimidate Maurice, distracts The Miz, Edge hits the spear, 1, 2, 3, and of course, Edge and Beth Phoenix stand tall, looking over the sights for Miz and Maurice. So of course, this has to be the long-term story. Maybe Royal Rumble. Maybe Royal Rumble, maybe after that as well too, not too sure yet, but we'll see. I definitely don't think this is going to be WrestleMania tier whatsoever. I feel like this is going to be Rumble, but hey, rock and roll, if they could stretch this out to Mania, good luck. But hey, Edge, still looking good as a wrestler, Miz was great as well too. Next match of the night. Becky Lynch defends her Raw Women's Championship against Liv Morgan. Alright, guys. I've been super critical, and I'm not stopping whatsoever. Whatsoever. Because, straight up, I want to say that this was an okay match, but I will say that, and we've said this before, on numerous podcasts before, that Becky Lynch is wrestling at subpar, but her character is great. And I feel like since she's been back, I think she's been able to mix her character and her wrestling in a way where it just works a lot better than it did before. I think the big time Bex character, the heel character, is 10 times better than what she was doing with the man. Her different ways of trying to get out of matches have been fun as well too. I like it. It works for her. At the same time, she also needs a good dancing partner. Someone that really, really you sympathize for. And I gotta say, out of the 7 years of Liv Morgan being in the WWE, I think we're all done with the sympathy for Liv Morgan. I myself was rooting for her. I'll say this, Jersey girl, Elizabeth, New Jersey, rock and roll, you go girl. You know, I love me some Jersey every single day of my life. I'm a New York boy, but I love me some Jersey. Per fanboy, you know, those who know, you know. But at the end of the day, who is Liv Morgan? We argue this all the time, me and Jay Rance. Who is Liv Morgan? What is she? What does she do? What has she done? And her wrestling is okay, but just okay doesn't cut it sometimes, right? You need to like blend that character a little bit. And that's the thing, she has no character. In a world where the WWE is fascinated by larger than life characters, Liv Morgan sits at the backseat of the bus because she has no idea what the hell she is on screen. Who the hell what she is on screen. Decipher that however you want to do it. They tried, though. They tried to give her, like, that femme fatale character, that seduction character. Hell, they even gave her a lesbian character at one point. I think she, her highest peak was part of the Riot Squad when she was playing that Harley Quinn character. And you know what? At the end of the day, I liked it as well, too. I felt like it fit her. You know, she seemed like a cosplay chick out of Jersey that does crazy stuff, and she had crazy antics, and maybe, yeah, Alexa Bliss did rob that from her a little bit, but Alexa Bliss went her own way into the Bray Wyatt kind of character. She could have continued this. I felt like that was really cool for her. And somewhere down the line, she just lost herself a little bit, and I don't know. It just does not translate to her in-ring whatsoever. I feel like her in-ring is kind of subpar. Her character is non-existent. And why should I care for her? She's lost so many times that I have no more sympathy for her. It's kind of like Ricochet. I'm going to love Ricochet for the person he was before the WWE. But the person who he is in the WWE makes no sense. It's irrelevant. It's cringeworthy sometimes because my man just doesn't get booked the way he should and continues to stay there. So with Liv Morgan, I did not expect her to win this match. I had no sympathy for her in this match. Hell, there is times in the match where I was waiting for the match to end. This match went on 17 minutes, another very lengthy match. They gave Liv Morgan all the opportunity in the world to really bring in that crowd. And at the end of the day, she was going against a juggernaut in Becky Lynch with the crowd loving her. Now, yeah, Becky did get some boos, because that's her job as a heel to get boos. But she also got a lot more chance as well, too, than Liv, which is saying something. The end was a little weird as well, too. We saw Liv trying to go for an Oblivion move, which is a horrible name. It's an awesome name for a move, but for her, it makes no sense. What are you? Are you a D&D character? Do you like Morrowind? Okay. Do you like Oblivion? Do you like Skyrim? If you do, put that in your character, please. I need something. But she goes for the move, and of course, Becky counters mid-move into the manhandle slam. It didn't look flush, but hey, it is what it is. Becky gets the wind. A little bit of a botch at the end, too. It did seem like Becky was trying to go for the ropes, like putting her feet on the ropes, but why would you do that if that's your finisher? Keep your finisher strong. Don't let anybody kick out if it doesn't need to, right? So that happened, and even after the match, you saw Liv, like, see her eyes, like something wrong with her eyes, like she was blinded by something or scratched, and the announcers never cared to point that out. I think no one cared to even talk about that. I didn't see anything like that whatsoever because they played the replay and didn't show anything of her eyes being raked or anything happening to her whatsoever. So super weird. But big time, Bex retains the Raw Women's Championship, and Liv, I don't know, man. I heard a lot of people saying, oh, Liv should win the Rumble. Why? I mean, don't get it twisted. There's not a lot of females right now that are in line for a title shot or can carry the weight of the title right now besides Charlotte and Becky. Maybe besides Bianca. Maybe Sasha, but we've seen that already, right? So, why Liv? Anyways, let's get off of that real quick, and let's get on to the main event, because I know that's what everyone wants to hear. Y'all want to hear the dirt with this, right? Y'all want to hear the dirt. I'm going to give you the dirt right here. Fatal 5-Way Match. Brock Lesnar, Big E, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley with MVP. Good match. Short match. 8 minutes and 25 seconds. Good match, though. balls to the wall. We see the dangerous alliance of Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. If they do become a tag team, that's an awesome name for them. Take that out of Mortal Kombat right there. This dangerous alliance comes out and just tackles Brock Lesnar. And of course, the rest go after Bobby Lashley as well. Two of Owens going after Bobby Lashley. Both of these men are getting decimated outside with Rollins and Owens doing tag team maneuvers on Lesnar. Lesnar gets speared through the barricades. Lashley gets put through a table by Big E. So much is happening in this match. Just get the two big guys down. And of course, throughout the whole match, the story that I saw was more Rollins and Owens knowing that their backs were against the wall in this match with three behemoths against them, were going back to back with frog splashes and swanton bombs and finishers to take people out so those two could fight for the title by themselves. We saw a nice little showdown between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. I wish we saw more of it because I think that's something that we've all been waiting for. We've all been waiting to see these guys go toe-to-toe in a regular match, and I just wish we got at least a minute or two. Now, I don't know what happened with this pay-per-view, this live premium event. We already cut one match with no rhyme or reason to I guess, maybe appease Peacock or the WWE for time constraints, but it did seem like they were running out of time. They were just going full throttle. I digress, though. It was nice to see Bobby and Brock kind of mixed together. It was nice to see Brock just mix it with everyone here in Germany and everyone doing different moves to different people, as well as who's selling for people. That was awesome. And of course, Brock goes crazy with F5s. F5 Owens, Rollins, Lashley, and of course, Big E, who comes in. And we thought that Big E was going to get the hero's fucking ending. Really felt that way. At least I did. I know somewhere right now Jay Rance is laughing. But I really felt that way. I was like, you know what? This is a great opportunity to really cement Big E as one of the better WWE champions by defeating all these guys at once. It would make sense. It would give him a lot of credibility going into the Mania season as a credible threat against anyone, right? Would have been good. Of course, that doesn't happen. That does not happen. And we get a repeat of what we saw with Kofi Kingston as a New Day member with the title gets picked up by Brock Lesnar. Lesnar hits the F5 only one time. You'd have thought that he would have kicked out of that one, right? Just to save face a little bit. But no, Brock Lesnar pins the champion in that match, which is Big E, and wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, laughs afterwards, leaves, and the night ends. Of course, there are little tidbits, like I mentioned, the Drew McIntyre segment as well, too, and of course, Johnny Knoxville announcing that he was entering this year's Royal Rumble, promoting the Jackass movie as well, too, so that's happening, I guess. But at the end of the day, this was an okay show. I'm gonna do the turnbuckle slaps. If you guys are new to this, we slap turnbuckles. Yes, we do. We slap turnbuckles on how we feel about the show. So I'm going to give this 2 slaps. That's gracious. I was going to give it 1.5, but I felt like the New Day match was good with the Usos. I felt like the main event was good. It was short, but good. I felt like Edge and Miz is underrated. I think that was a really good match as well, too. So for those matches right there, I'm going to go ahead and say there was some good wrestling here. There was just some questionable decisions, as is with the WWE. That main event really, that last bit of Lesnar just going over another New Day member really does kill me. Now, of course, we do have the Rumble coming up as well, too. I believe the Rumble is going to be at the end of January as well, too. I think the rumors were saying that they were going to push this to February, but it does land in the spot that we're more familiar with at the end of January. So who knows what's going to happen right here. We have two dominant champions on both brands with Brock on Raw and, of course, Roman on SmackDown. What do you guys think are going to happen? Do you think are going to happen? Look at me. Vocabulary. Look at me. Conjunction. What's your function? Don't mind me. It's late. What do you guys think is going to happen with the Rumble? Do you think maybe a Big E may win this match right here? And maybe try to get himself into that main event spot and take on Brock Lesnar and Mania? Do you feel that Hell, they may even scrap the men's match right there and just do a unification match between Brock and Roman to make one championship. I think that's awesome. I think that raises the stakes. That's a WrestleMania caliber match right there for Dallas. I've been saying consolidate these titles for a long time. Those, the tag team straps, well, too, and the women's straps. Y'all don't got the roster for it. Y'all barely could fill in a Royal Rumble. Both men or women. Do it. Do it. Do it. Right? Why not? Right? Why not? But who knows what could happen right there. But that's it for day one. I'll give that 2 slaps of the turnbuckle. I did enjoy it. It wasn't too much of a waste of time. It was good for a Saturday night. How do you guys feel about Saturday night pay-per-views? Or live premium events? Let us know at EWA Podcast on Twitter and EWA Podcast on the EWA PC, excuse me, on Instagram and EWA Elite Wrestling Audio Podcast on Facebook as well, too. We have a group there. But we're not done, guys, because we still have more stuff coming to you this week. The new year brings us new surprises. This Saturday is going to be a star-studded event. I'll say it that way because I support both of these brands. On one side, you have January 8th, next Saturday, Hard to Kill 2022, with the main event being, I believe it's a double main event. We're not sure who's taking the last shot of the show there, but we either have a Texas Death Match between Deonna Purrazzo trying to win back her Knockouts Championship against Mickie James, or we also have, for the Impact Heavyweight Championship, Moose defend his title against Matt Cardona and W. Morrissey. So that's going to be a great, great card. If you haven't seen it, take a look at it, because there's awesome wrestling on that card. You have Jonah taking on, oh boy, this one hurts, because I feel like I know what's going to happen in this match right here. Our boy Josh Alexander may do the JOB to Jonah. We'll see what happens there. We also have an awesome match with Jonathan Gresham taking on Chris Sabin for the ROH. You heard me right, the ROH World Championship. So that's going to be interesting as well, too. Guys, I hope you guys support that, because that is going to be an epic show. But we're not done right there. AEW has an event. Their version of the Clash of Champions will be this Saturday as well, too, January 8th. It will be the first of its kind Battle of the Belts. Now, not many championship matches have been added to this event. The only one that we know so far is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, will defend her AEW Women's Championship against Riho, the former champion, as well, too. So that's going to be a good match. But if you want more AEW, hell, this Wednesday coming up will be the debut of Dynamite on TBS. Well, we will see. We will crown a new TBS champion when Ruby Riott, or Ruby Soho, as she is now. Look at me. Ruby Soho. Oh yeah, oh no. Taking on Jay Cargyle as well, too, who emerged as the new TBS champion. One of the first, I guess, secondary women championships that we've seen in a very long time in the United States on the main platform. So very, very excited for that, guys. We also have NXT happening Tuesday with a unification match. Or, excuse me, look at this. This is New Year's Day. What was it? New Year's Evil is happening this week? New Year's Day Evil? I have no idea what the hell it's called. But they're having their New Year's event as well, too, with the biggest match there being the unification match with our boy Roderick Strong defending his Cruiserweight Championship against... You know, let me speak. Let me speak frank about this guy right here. I think, and this is just me, my man is a future. The future of this company. I feel that he, in my head, has a charisma, has the wrestling ability, and the swag to be someone, and that is Carmelo Hayes. I like Carmelo Hayes. I'm not afraid to say it. I think he is someone that's going to take something serious in NXT, because it's really not. Now, I hate the fact that this match is a unification match for the titles. It just lowers the credibility of both titles. But I also hear that they're going to make a brand new title And the rumor is it's going to be the NXT North American Cruiserweight Championship, which sounds stupid as hell. Stupid AF. So take that as it is, guys. But that's it, guys. It's going to be a crazy week for professional wrestling. Thank you guys for tuning into this. If it was bad, it's because I'm a little rusty. I don't got my boy with me as well, too. But if you did enjoy it, thank you so much. Tune into the next one. It's going to be every Sunday. Sunday Night Elite. Thank you guys again. And of course, support the podcast. It's on all podcast platforms. Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Amazon Music, things of that nature, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Elite Wrestling Audio. You'll find us right there as well, too. And of course, all the pages as well, too. Twitter, EWA Podcast, or sorry, EWA PC. And then, of course, on Instagram, EWA PC. And of course, on Facebook at Elite Wrestling Audio. Thank you, guys. I'm out, because you know why? If it ain't elite, it ain't sweet, right? Take care. Later.